Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. My wife is up at our trailer. We go up there on the weekends. I came down there this morning, and we have so much rain up there. It's like, wow. I tried to do a short little trail run yesterday, and it was just puddle, puddle, dry, dry, puddle, 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 dry, dry. But it is what it is. It's Canada, and thankful for the rain. Thankful. We're going to be going into a series, and so here's the reason, the rationale. It's interesting as you come to, it was mentioned, you know, I'm transitioning as well into retirement. And it's interesting when you get there, there are things on your heart that you want to pass on to the congregation. And so I've just been asking the Lord, just, you know, what are those, you know, there's a number of things that bubble up, but what things specifically you want me to speak on? And whether I hear clearly all the time, that's debatable. But I do believe that one of the things was to sort of remind what it is that, you know, what's the vineyard all about? Are we different? Are we the same? Are we out of date? Are we this, that, the next thing? You can ask all those questions. And so I would begin with, first of all, this question right here that you should ask yourself. That's a good question for Thanksgiving, eh? But seriously, why do you exist? And not because, you know, I was born or that. No, no, no. What's your reason for existence? What's your reason for being? The French word for it is raison d'être. Reason for being. Why do you exist? What is it? What is it that really moves you? And here's why it's important to know that. When you know that, you know what to say yes to. You also know what to say no to. You don't just go, you know, just drift all over the place according to fads, right? You know who you are, why you're there. There was a little exercise I did, I don't know, it was pre-COVID. That's our marker now, COVID. But it was before that where, what is your, you know, that thing that drives you? And I remember when I went through the little exercise, the thing that, you know, what I wrote down about myself was, I help people in their spiritual journey so that they can see beauty in all things. And I looked, you know, I look at that now and I go, yeah. Doesn't mean everybody has to like what your raison d'etre is. They don't. But do you know what it is? Do you know what you're wired for? Do you know that? It's important. It's important to know that. And it's the same for us as a faith community. Do we know? And the reason I bring that up is because there was, it's been probably almost as long as I've been part of the Vineyard, where Vineyard Canada has, I'm going to be honest with you, it's been a struggle to know, what are we about, to nail that. Conversation right across the nation. Right? Conversation. And what a blessing when in 2014, when David and Nita Roos were brought in as our national directors. And one of the things, you know, David has really focused on is trying to bring us back to that center of who we are and to know who we are. And I believe, like, I have no doubt that there is a calling on the Vineyard globally, for the church in the world globally. And I believe when we fulfill our calling, and I believe this for all denominations and all movements, that when we fulfill our calling, we actually help the body of Christ throughout the world do better. We lift that up. And the language that David Roos will use, when we stay in our lane, when we stay in our lane, we help others stay in their lanes as well. And I believe that's important. It's not like we're right. We figured it out. Hopefully every other denomination and movement will get on board with us. It's not that, because I believe that the God we worship, is, and you know, I speak of God, this infinite God, this God that you can't put any boundaries to. There is no, you can't put this, what the center is and where is God. That God is bigger than we can even ask or imagine, as Paul says. And I believe, I think there's a lot of denominations or different aspects, different facets of who God is. Not all of us see clearly. I'm thankful for Paul, who says in his letter to the Corinthians that I know in part now. We see through a glass darkly. And Paul is saying that. Paul is saying that about himself and about the church then. And those are people who, you know, are either were the same generation as when Jesus Christ was on earth or just the next generation afterwards, that we see through a glass darkly. We don't know, but I believe the broader church gives a bigger, broader picture of the God that we worship. That's why I think it's really, really important. We lose our reason for being, we stray from it, when we start depending more on ourselves than on God. And I'll get more into that as we go along this morning. We stray from our calling when we compare ourselves with other churches. And that is true for us individually. You start comparing yourself with others, man, you want to tank yourself, drive yourself right into the ditch, start comparing, and you'll just boom, right? Because it's you want to pull away from that. And we stray as well from our calling, from our reason for being, when indifference sets in, when it's meh, and we just drift. We just drift. So we're going to spend the next few weeks looking at some of our distinctives as the vineyard. And we are distinct from other churches, but then they are distinct from us. And I think the diversity is beautiful. I really do. When I was driving down here this morning from Weyerton, you know, and I pass a Pentecostal church, I pass a Christian Reformed church, I pass a Mennonite church, you know, and I go, you know, is God there? Is God present this morning? I'm convinced that wherever people's hearts are turned towards God, seeking God, God's present. You know? I don't think God's locked into has to look a certain way. I really don't. I think God's much broader than that. A few years back, and I don't know if David Roos wrote it, but there's a document that got put out called the Why document, Why Vineyard document. And it's about 33 pages, I think, something like that. It's on our website, or on our church's website, thevineyardchurch.ca. It's on the Vineyard Canada website. You want to have some history and why we do what we do. Great document to read. I'd recommend it. Now, in saying that, reading and us also, you know, our teaching, what we're going to look at over the next few weeks, it's okay to hear it, but we, and I'm speaking to the leaders here, if we don't model it, it's hard to get caught. As Wimber used to say, John Wimber, and I'll reference him more, more is caught than taught, right? When people see it in action, they catch it, right? And that's so true. And so I'm going to be referring to that document every now and then. I'm not pulling from that document. We are zeroed in on what is it in Scripture, but also what has God pulled us to the vineyard to. So let's begin with a very brief history of who we are, how we came to be. So here's the thing. Like anything else, and you can look at your own life becoming a follower of Jesus, I would bet that God was working in your life way before you made a decision to follow Jesus. And maybe not. For me, it was. I was working way before. And it's the same with movements. God was moving. Back in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, it was, '60s was a tumultuous decade. It seems like all decades are tumultuous, right? In part. But there was movement, in the 60s, there was the hippie movement and the younger generation, no, things got to be different, right? And there was within the church, the broader church, I'm speaking North America, there was the Jesus people. And I was just a kid when all that was blossoming like that. And, it was just coming up in the church. It was just like this thing bubbling up in the church. But the church, and we're no different. The church was so, like, we know who we are and what we do, and we do it this way. It was all about doing, right? That when this thing started to bubble up, it was like, you got to be kidding me, right? There was this pushback. It can't be like this. But there was this movement that was taking place, and I knew it back then because come 73, 74, I'm going into high school. And I'm part of the youth group at the church we attended, and we attended a conservative evangelical church, but there was like this. It was like every now and then there'd be this bubbling up of the Holy Spirit, right? And there'd be this, get it down there. We don't want that. We gotta contain this. But it couldn't. It was hard to contain, right? Because we got a taste of it. It was like, there's just pockets of people wanted more, right? And it was really interesting. And what was going on? So there was this move in the church. There was this denomination, I don't know if it was a denomination or a movement, Calvary Chapel, that was happening. And from that came Maranatha music. And that played a big part for me because April and I, so fast forward up into the 80s, and we became part of the Sunday school, and became Sunday school superintendents and that, and we were introduced to Salty the Singing Songbook. Anybody familiar with that? And no. Yeah, it was. Hey, you guys got your Veggie Tales and stuff. We had the Salty the Singing Songbook. It was good. No, good movies. They produced interesting movies, good movies for the kids. Oh, no. Hey, I'm old guy, right? What's that? A Galaxy Far Away. And the guy was dressed in blue, and it looked like a songbook. And his name was Salty, as in Psalms, the salt, the Psalter, right? Yeah, oh. I remember some of the songs he would sing. Anyway. Bunny Trail. So there's all this movement. There was a guy down in California, his name was Ken Gullickson. He was part of one of the leaders in the Calvary Chapel. And he just felt led to start a gathering, just something different from Calvary, a little bit different. And one of the hallmarks of his gathering was this thing of intimate worship that was occurring. And he attracted musicians. He was, I don't know exactly where in California he was located. And he attracted people like, who became part of it was Larry Norman. I'm dating myself, but Larry was a rabble rouser in the church. Thumbs down, right? For me, Larry Norman played a pivotal part in me because Larry asked questions. He questioned the church, I think he was like a 1970s prophet in the church and calling the church on some of its stuff, right? I got his stuff loaded up on my Spotify. But Larry Norman, Keith Green, pivotal. These are guys in their 20s. And these are guys, let me tell you something. Movements won't occur with me. They'll occur with these guys over here, these guys over here, the younger, in their 20s, they were stirring the stuff up, right? They were stirring it up. Chuck Gerard, he became part of Ken Gullickson's group that was meeting, and also Bob Dylan, right? No kidding, right? There was this thing going on, right? And also who was friends of Ken's was John Wimber. and John Wimber. So this would be back. So we're in the 70s, and Wimber was part of the Calvary Chapel, but he was planting. He planted a Calvary Chapel church in Yorba Linda, California. And see where Wimber came from. He came out of the Quakers, and people from the Quakers followed him as well. Anyway, long story short, Calvary said, gosh, John, seems like you're going a little different direction than us. Maybe you should go out on your own, do your own thing, do your thing, whatever you're doing. Because he taught a lot. Wimber taught a lot about the kingdom of God, because he was teaching at Fuller Seminary, and he had a course that was focused on the kingdom of God and what it was all about. Anyway, long story short, him and Ken joined up, and Ken had called his little gathering, what do you think he called it? Vineyard. Everybody's afraid. I might get it wrong. Don't be wrong. That's okay. He just called it Vineyard, and that was influenced by two passages, one out of Isaiah 27 and also John 15, verse 2, and we'll get to that in a few minutes here. And in 82, so you got around 74, Ken Gollickson starting his gathering, and then 77, John planting Yorba Linda, and then in 82, John changed that Yorba Linda church to Anaheim Vineyard, and that all things started there. But John and Ken were known for their passion for this intimate worship. I want to give you a quote here from the Y document that says this: scores of worship songwriters and leaders would emerge across all streams of the church as a direct result of his, that's John Wimber, of his strong belief that we should be about the business of creating songs to Jesus, not just about him. That is a hallmark of what Vineyard brought into the church, injected into the church. And the young people, the youth growing up, they caught on to that because that gripped their heart, and it gripped mine. Like it was something, even though I was, you know, by the time I hit age 17, I was questioning my faith, and I walked away at 17 just to this. I didn't want to have anything more to do with it. But I couldn't unhook from that. I had heard some of the songs, and it was like, there's something that is real here. And I couldn't get away from that. I couldn't argue that. But that is a hallmark. That is a pivotal piece of Vineyard, of these songs of intimate worship. And we wondered why the Holy Spirit was breaking out. I'll tell you why. Those songs of intimate worship were basically prayers written out, music put to those prayers. And when you have people who are longing, and I mean longing, there is a longing to have this presence. Like there was no indifference. Didn't know what we wanted, but there was something. You got this longing, but you don't know what it is. That's what it felt like. And when you got people like that who are singing together, they're praying. That's a prayer going up from a group of people wanting. And you wonder why the Holy Spirit would fall. That's why. It's what was happening. There was this deep, deep hunger. So in between that 77 and 82, all that, there was a significant event that took place. You've seen it. If you've seen the Jesus Revolution movie, then you know what I'm talking about. But on Mother's Day 1979, at John Wimber's church, he decided for the evening service, there was this crazy guy out there called Lonnie Frisbee. And he was sort of like a modern day young kid, sandal wearing prophet, looked like Jesus. But John really felt, he really sensed God saying, invite him to speak. And so John was like, oh, don't know. If you hear some of John's stuff when he talks about it. And he invited him to speak that evening service. He spoke, and all Lonnie Frisbee did was his prayer at the end, because, you know, speakers, they finish and then they close with a prayer. And Lonnie's prayer was, come Holy Spirit. They describe it as mayhem. And John was like, not horrified, that wouldn't be the right word. He was like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And some people were like, oh, don't like this. And some other, and it was just like people speaking in tongues. There was manifestations. And it was, what is going on? What happened? What'd you do? Right? And there was this whole thing. But that prayer, come Holy Spirit, is another hallmark of who Vineyard is. It's our prayer. It's our heartfelt thing. We want to see the Holy Spirit move through us. We want that. We want, and that comes from people who, like me, who grew up in a church who we talked about the Father. We talked about Jesus. Rarely did we talk about the Holy Spirit. Or if we did, the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of our sin, right? But don't talk about anything else. But you know, it was hush, hush, hush. And it couldn't be contained. Couldn't be contained. We had to speak it out. It was just that. So the vineyard is starting to blossom at this point in 82. John becomes the force behind getting it out there. And plants start happening. And eventually it makes its way up the West Coast, up into BC. And Gary and Joy Best, who became the first national directors for Canada, I think they were the first church plant. There might have been some others. But from BC, and it just migrates all the way to the Maritimes. That's what happens. It just started to migrate. And it didn't miss Ontario at all. And here in Ontario, there was a guy by the name of Dale Bolton, who was, I remember him saying he just walked the halls where he was working, and he just had this stirring to plant, needed to plant something. And I think Dale was connected with YOM, I think. Gosh. He thinks it, yes? Oh, awesome. Okay, there we go. But he had this stirring to plant. With that came, there were four other couples that came alongside, and they begin to meet. One of those couples is Rob Horvath was here. There you are. I was looking there. I don't know why I was looking there. Did you move? No, I know you didn't. Your parents, Bob and Sylvia Horvath, they were one of those couples that joined with Dale, and a little gathering started. That'd be around 87, I think it was, something like that, 86, 87, something like that. And then one of those couples was Steve and Christina Stewart, and they became they were identified as the pastors to lead this and for it to become a vineyard. And in 1989, March 89, we became officially the Cambridge Vineyard Christian Fellowship. And we began to officially meet as a church. I mentioned to you guys that for almost as long as April and I have been a part of the vineyard in Canada has struggled with what is our identity. That's the truth. It's just been. So Cambridge Vineyard's trucking along, and there's also another pastor who has come, and I think he first went into Stratford, but John and Carol are not. And then John planted a church in Toronto called the Airport Vineyard. And again, they were just ones who were seeking God, seeking God's face. And in early 93, Tab and Jeff were there when it all mayhem broke out. And the Holy Spirit fell there. You know, they had Randy Clark there as a guest speaker. And a renewal, a move of the Holy Spirit took place. And it lasted for months, years. And it got named the Toronto Blessing. People from all different denominations came from all around the world. And of course, the broader church, you know, some of it going, wow, God's really moving there, really moving on people. And others were like, this is wrong, right? It was all of this. There was all, it was just more turmoil, right? And so this became, and Cambridge Vineyard was played a significant part in that. We like going as far as helping, and we had, I believe, Cambridge Vineyard, Bruce and Helen, you would know this, they had services as well for a short time, for a period of time. Yeah. This became, from what the documents I've read, this became started to become the focus and the identifier for Vineyard. Now, this is coming from out of the Vineyard International Board. Anyway, long story short, John Wimber felt that Airport was similar to what John was. Different, as John was different from Calvary Chapel, felt that things were like that Toronto Airport was going a different direction. And so there was a meeting, the board, international board came up, and they made the decision, both Airport. From the outside, it looked like it was done sort of neat, but from the inside, it's never. And they decided to bless Airport to go their way, and they didn't become, they stepped out of Vineyard, and we continued. What happened was, the questions that were around were, who are we? Who are we? If we're not that, who are we then? Do I think John Wimber had the insight? I believe he did. I believe he did. Was it carried out probably the best way? Maybe not. Maybe not. I wasn't around then, so I don't know. I really don't know. We didn't break ties. Right, Vineyard blessed Gary Best, I believe Gary Best, and they came and they, you know, they blessed what was going on. We recognized God moving, and sort of it got foggy what we were about. And Gary and Joy Best, they worked hard, really hard, and they did it. It was still this struggle, but it's all part of the, you know, the Holy, we say, come Holy Spirit, do your thing. But what we're really saying is, come Holy Spirit, we have a plan here for you. If you could follow this Holy Spirit, that'd be great. And for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit doesn't always do that. Don't know why. I do know why. Because God knows best. So that's our history. That's our history. But I want to go back to one of the core things why Vineyard, and there was two passages. First one from John 15:5, where Jesus says to his disciples, "Yes, I am the vine; you are the branches. And those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Those are Jesus' words in John 15:5. Pivotal. That verse says everything. The other one is from Isaiah, which is Isaiah 27, verse 2 and 3. "In that day, sing about the fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, will watch over it, watering it carefully. Day and night I will watch so no one can harm it." Those two passages form the posture that God has called us to take as a movement. I'm convinced of that. And I just want to quickly go through it. Number one, life is found in God, and all life flows from God. That we recognize that everything we have, everything we are, comes from God. That's what part of that longing. We recognize that. We recognize that. Number two, that God is our covering. That's what, you know, in Isaiah there, that's what it speaks of. That God is the one who watches over us, who nourishes us, who protects us. We get everything we need from God. The Holy Spirit fills us with that. That's why we want the Spirit, because everything, life itself flows from that. And John 15, when Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches," and he calls us to remain in him, because then nourishment, then life will flow. That apart from me, you cut a branch away from the trunk, it dies. It dies. A branch can't sustain. It dies. It needs to be a part of that plant. That talk of abiding speaks of relationship. The vine and the branch, it's relationship. and how we function, we place relationship key, not structure, not top-down hierarchical. We want to be a people that value relationship with God, but relationship with one another. We need it. It's why we say if someone comes for the first time and they're thinking that we want to hang out here, we want to make this our home church, we're not looking for them to serve. We want to get to know you and you get to know us. That's built on relationship. It's why at the beginning, kinships were so important. And it's why I try to promote home churches or small groups to be connected intimately so that there's this close, intimate group that we can come to and we can pour our hearts out to and be prayed for. But what Jesus said, that I am the vine, you are the branches, it's relationship. Jesus told his disciples, I call you friends. I call you friends. It's all about relationship. You look at the early church and the structure. It was all built on relationship. Everyone submitting to everyone else. Everyone. Paul submitted to the Jerusalem church. Peter did as well. People submitted to Paul. And there was just this beautiful, and I believe a modeling of what the Trinity, how it functions, how one is always pointing to the other. The Father says, here's my Son. The Son says, I have to go so the Holy Spirit can come. The Holy Spirit says, I glorify Jesus in everything I do. And there's this beautiful mutual dance that takes place. And so we want to model that. Do we get it perfect? No, we don't get it perfect. But you cut us, we bleed relationship. We want relationship. That's what we want. We're hungry for that. And the other thing too, from here is we are God dependent for everything. Collectively and individually. That's our posture we want to be, is that we're dependent on God. It's not us. It's not about us. It's all about him. It's all about that. And that, when our songs are all about you, God, it's all about you, Jesus. We want you. That's why our songs are prayers to God. That's why we pray, come, Holy Spirit. I believe partly that, we have never done stellar as far as financially as a church. Well, we had our heyday when we had a lot of people coming and we were renting and stuff. But part of that, I believe, is you rely on me. Our reliance is on God. It's not on us making it. So the difference is we don't try and do great things for God. Our posture is, God, you are great. Do whatever you want with us. And that goes all the way back to hear John Wimber and even hear Carol Wimber talk about, if we're just meant to be around for 20 years and we've just brought renewal to the church, and then, that's God used us for that, and it's 20 years and we're done. Wimber saying that. Part of you wants to go, don't do that. Don't say that. No. We'll take it. We'll take the mountain, right? But Wimber used phrases like, I'm just loose change in the master's pocket and he can spend me however he wants. That's the stuff. That's what's in our DNA. That we hold it loosely like this. In our values page, we have a values document. And one of it is, we are not people keepers. That people come and we bless people to go as well. But we're not people keepers. We don't do that. Seems a bit contrary. But I love it. I really do. Therefore, we wait. We are a people that will wait. We'll listen. That's why when we were teaching the five-step prayer model this summer, one of the things Patrick said, and I'm sure you did too, Teb, although I wasn't here when you were teaching, go to pray for someone, might not pray right away. Why? Well, we're just going to listen to see what God has to say. We'll wait.
Just wait. You wait.
That, you can trace that back to what Wimber brought from the Quakers. When they gather, they wait. They wait. We listen. We listen for what God has to say. It's hard. That's hard. When our senior leadership team gathers and meets and we want to, you know, make decision, hey, let's take some time and just listen, see what God's saying. Oh, okay. But we could, no. Let's listen. Let's wait. Let's listen. God will speak. We take risks at times in some of the things we say, you know? And I've just been finding lately, not sure why, but as I've taken time to listen and I take that risk to speak it out, if I'm, you know, I'm praying for someone or something, bang. It's like, you know, there's this thought of, oh, so you will actually talk to me if I listen. You will actually show me. Just silence. But therefore, this too, we look. We look to God always to sustain us. We sang a song about that you are sustenance, I think it was. God sustains us. It's not us that sustain ourselves. That we are a dependent, a God-dependent people. God-dependent. We look to God. There's a psalm that says, you know, I look to God as a handmaiden looks to her master, or a servant looks to its master. We look to God and we wait and we trust. That's the beginning. So I'm just giving you a taste of what was starting as the seed was being birthed. And Jesus models this. He models this. Jesus would wait. He'd listen. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I don't do anything on my own. Jesus said that. I only do what I see the Father doing. Whenever I go to a regional gathering or a national gathering where, you know, the Vineyard come together, especially the national gatherings, there's always a time where it's like, ah, yeah, okay. It's a reminder, this is who we are, because we too here, we struggle to try and stay in our lane. You know, and it's not other lanes are wrong. It's just there's something about when you stay in that lane, you just know that you know that you know. And people who come, you can almost say, you know, are you Vineyard? And some people go, oh yeah, no, this is my home, right? And some people go, I'm not sure. Don't know, not sure. Just checking you out. Oh, okay. But it's just something you know. And last July, July 22, we were out at the Calgary for the national gathering out there. And it was titled, Just Jesus, Just Jesus. You know, it's just, that's what we're about. And I thought, that's not a hoorah statement. Well, it is, but, you know, but it's bang on. Bang on. One of the sessions, you know, we're singing. And just, you know, I took a look around. I took this look, you know, almost like taking my temperature. And it's like, oh. And you're trying to figure out what is it that's different from us. And then I took out my phone and I just started typing what it is I was thinking. So I'm going to read it to you verbatim. That's on my phone. And it's this. This is what I typed. We don't sing about the thing we're going to do for God. We've recognized how deeply God loves us as we are. And we come humbly before God and sing about this God whose love for creation is beyond anything we can imagine. We declare the beauty and magnificence of God. We live our lives and serve in response to God's love for us. That's who we are. That's who we are. And it's the posture we take. And does it mean that other movements, other denominations are wrong? No, not at all. Not at all. It's a calling God has placed on us. And it's what we bring to the broader church. Let me tell you something. That whole thing, when you have experienced that deep deep love of God. And that takes that abiding, you know, the vine and the branch fused together as one, melded together. When you've experienced that, then that was the longing that was going on in the church in the 60s and 70s. Young people having this yearning, I need to be connected. I want to be connected to God. Well, what is it? And there's this longing. When you have that, that's what holds you. And the neat thing about that is, you're never satisfied. There's something about that that keeps, that you just hunger for more and you long for that. We lose our focus when we become indifferent, when that hunger leaves us. And that's our doing. It's not that God has, you know, separated and gone somewhere else on the planet. Mm-mm. That when we seek, when we look, when we hunt for God, for your presence, we need your presence, we want your presence, we do that. God always, always will be with us, always. And it's beautiful. That's our posture we take. That's our lane we drive in. And it shapes our reason for being. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. There's lots more I could say about, you know, we're just going to take some time right now to wait. One of the things, and it's not just here, it's bled out from the vineyard, but this whole thing of posturing. Of posturing yourself to receive. And the reason posturing is important is because there's something about that when you posture yourself, your mind tends to follow. Your mind will follow. In other words, if you laid down on the chairs right now, it'd be hard for you to receive, maybe. God can, God will, but God loves to see when my body and my heart, my mind is focused on God, when there's that longing. I'm going to pray right now, and I know the Holy Spirit will move when we open our hearts to receive, that the Holy Spirit may come any way the Holy Spirit, that we invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we are just loose change in your pocket. You can spend us any way you want. So Holy Spirit, right now we say, come. Would you come, Lord? We long for you. I long for you. I long for your presence, Lord. There is something that is sweet. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, reveal yourself to us. Right now, in this place, in this time. Lord, I pray, Lord, for those who just, they go, there's no hunger there. There's nothing there. I pray, Lord, would you kickstart, jumpstart our spirits. Awaken us, Lord. Awaken us. We sang, there was words we sang to one of the songs that to awaken us, you know, from the grave. God, awaken us, Lord. And the picture I get is some of us are like Lazarus, right? We got bandages all bound up. We think it's dead. And we need Jesus. Jesus, we need you to say to us, say to our spirits, come out. Come out. Come out. So Lord, we just say, speak to us, Lord. Breathe your breath on us that we come alive now. Now, Lord, wake us up. We pray for the young generation, Lord, for the kids. Lord, would you stir in them? Stir in them, Lord. Come and move right now, Father. Come and move. So let's just wait. Let's just wait. But Father, we just ask you, Lord, come right now. Just come. Lord, would you release the gifts as well? Gifts, and I sense the Lord saying the gifts are already released. We just got to walk in it. We want you to be front and center in our lives and front and center in who we are. Holy Spirit, we say, come, come, come.